This is a special series of Bible studies on the Gospel of Mark. It was done at the request of the Far East Broadcasting Company. The scripture reading is done by my good friend, Ken Brooks. Yes, this is the Emmaus Bible Hour, a program for you and your family, a time to study the Bible together. This is our final study time together in the Gospel of Mark. Now open your Bibles to Mark 15 and verse 42. We've used the New American Standard Bible throughout our studies. Mark 15, 42.
And when evening had already come, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea came, a prominent man, a member of the council, a man who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God. And he gathered up courage and went in before Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate wondered if he was dead by that time, and summoning the centurion, he questioned him as to whether he was already dead. And ascertaining this from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. And Joseph brought a linen sheet, took him down, wrapped him in the linen sheet, and laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock. And then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, were looking on to see where he was laid.
Joseph of Arimathea steps out of the shadows, gathers up courage, and asks for the body of Jesus. He was a prominent man, a man of the powerful Sanhedrin. Why had he not spoken out before? Maybe he had. But here he's on the scene to do the thing he felt the Lord would have him do, no matter what the cost. God has His men here and there around the world. We never know when He'll call upon us to do a great task, the greatest task of our lives. Let us be on call. It's a thrilling thing to serve the Lord, to be at the right time, to be at the right place at the right time. Harold St. John, in his very excellent book on the Gospel of Mark, points out that there are two different words are used here in this narrative for the body of Christ. Joseph, in verse 43, uses the word for human body, a person, a temple in which the Holy Spirit could dwell, while Pilate, in verse 45, uses the word for corpse, meaning a fallen thing, a carcass, something that's worthless and already the prey of corruption. The very language of these two men indicates where they stood in relation to the Lord Jesus. Joseph, a man of faith, a man who saw beyond the grave. Pilate, a man who considered that body of no value. The birds might as well feed on it as far as Pilate was concerned. The use of words of these two men tell us a great deal about them. Nicodemus was there that day, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Joseph. We sometimes hear people describing Mary Magdalene as one who'd lived a very wicked life before she met the Savior. This is based on tradition and not on facts. She was a sinner, yes, but so are the rest of us. Sinners saved by grace. That is, everyone who's trusted the Lord Jesus for salvation. None of us have anything to brag about. We turn now to the resurrection chapter, chapter 16, just 20 verses. First, Mark tells of the women going to the empty tomb in the early morning, and the young man at the tomb who said to them,
"Do not be amazed. You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He has risen. He's not here. Behold, here's the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he said to you."
This was really some news. They had seen him die. They had seen him buried. But now the message that he is risen. Throughout the book of Mark, you'll note that so often when the Lord Jesus spoke of his death, he would also speak of his resurrection. He tried to cause them to look beyond the tomb. Remember in chapters 8, 9, and 10, he stated this fact, the fact of his death and then of his resurrection. Yes, go tell the disciples and Peter. Peter, the one who had denied him. The Lord still loved Peter. I'm not sure who said this, but I like it. The most precious thing about Jesus is the way in which he trusts us on the field of our defeat. Yes, Peter was to have a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance. We believe that the Gospel of Mark is the story of the Lord Jesus remembered by Peter and reported by Mark. Go tell his disciples and Peter. I'm sure that Peter never forgot those words. Three appearances of the Lord Jesus are recorded here in these closing verses of the Gospel. His appearance to Mary Magdalene, the two on the Emmaus Road, and finally to the 11 as they were eating. His message to them,
go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation.
A defeated, discouraged group of disciples were different men after they had seen the risen Savior. They went forth with the good news to the then known world. They obeyed. And probably never was the world so effectively evangelized as during the first century. Those men are still a challenge to us today in this space age.
Mark 16, 19 and 20. So then, when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed.
Thanks, Ken. And that finishes the book of Mark. The Gospel of Mark pictures the Lord Jesus as the faithful servant. And here in this very last verse, we find the faithful servant still working. In heaven, yes, but still working with his servants here on earth. He's omnipresent. But let us never forget that that work still is going on today in the 20th century. First, trust him as your Savior, and then go out in his service. He has work for you to do. There's still work to be done today. He wants to save you and then send you forth. It's the greatest work in all the world. And remember, he still works side by side with his servants. We serve a risen Savior.
You